Hey, this is George.
And this is Sarah.
And we are
Talking Messy,
where tough love meets compassionate honesty.
We may be 0% politically correct, but we're 100% emotionally intentional. So here's what.
We have a boy today.
A boy.
A boy.
A man. A man.
A man.
Oh boy.
See, our listenership has gone beyond the vagina.
Yes. Yes, it has. So we have Chris here with us today.
Hello.
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 And we wanted to kind of pick your brain about the concept of toxic masculinity.
Okay, well, I suppose I'm an expert.
Are you?
Apparently.
No, I love when we have boys on. You have to be an expert.
We like never say, we're just like, here, we have a boy. They're a guest.
Right?
Like the chicks we've had on so far, we're like, and they're this and this and how fabulous they are. Like,
yeah. And then it was like, we didn't even introduce Roderick.
Roderick, I still love you. Yes. Roderick is my cheese partner for life.
Right. So yeah, so Chris. He has a name
Chris.
At least.
He has a peen.
It qualifies me.
Yeah.
So now you get to speak on behalf of the male gender.
Excellent. I always wanted to.
We always do that. We're horrible people, right? As usual. Yep. Shouldn't we have called this podcast Horrible Chicks?
See, chicks. I don't like chicks.
Why not?
I don't know.
You suck at life.
I would much rather someone call me man or dude than chick.
We're horrible people.
Horrible people.
That's probably taken. Mm-hmm. Tell us about yourself besides being a male.
Okay.
A sishit, aren't you?
What?
Are you a sishit?
Yes. Yes, it took me a second to parse what you're trying to
tell me. I am so lost on this.
I got so lost when I first saw that term because people would insult white nerd and be like, you're a cishet white male. Cishet white male. And I was like, what's a cishet? I was like, is that some sort of a serving platter or something? It just seemed like that. Or a special gardening tool. I'm a cishet. I don't know. Something from a Merchant Ivory film. The cishet.
About me.
Yeah. All the things. All the or whatever things. Thing. Mm-hmm.
All the things. Let's see. I'm a writer.
Okay.
I work a day job like all writers.
Sweet.
So I am awash in the construction industry, which I guess also qualifies me to talk about toxic masculinity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Male-dominated industry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you ever worked in a female-dominated industry or been around like all females in a work environment?
Yes.
Okay, good. You have those sides of this.
Yep.
Because we've talked about that flip side of we've both been in an environment where I've worked with like all women and I've worked with all men.
Right.
I've been token gender before.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, partially the TMI exposed, but also partially the different sort of pressures that you get in that workplace environment.
Yes.
And some of them do carry over outside into the social, and maybe because we've each been in that, it is a little easier to notice some of the toxic masculinity. First, I want to know, what do you call toxic masculinity? Yes. How do you each define it?
This.
It's a pretty broad subject. I kind of use it as a catch-all for stuff I don't like.
Yeah, stuff you don't like. I usually like douchebaggery,
right.
Like general
right.
Like douchebaggery.
Yeah.
And in your professional opinion.
Uh-oh.
Can we get a textbook definition?
Oh, I don't have one. I'm sorry.
Can we get to the best of what you've kind of sussed out of how would you say to clientele?
Man, you know, I hate being put on the spot.
We're going to make the education work for you.
Are we?
Yeah.
I didn't have an education on toxic masculinity, oddly enough. Because
wait, you've dated, haven't you?
I mean, that.
That's mine, too.
Right? So I like your concept of, like, just general douchebaggery, you know? Right. It's the extreme masculinity. You know, you have to be this in order to be considered masculine.
Yeah. I know. I don't think there's anything wrong with a popular culture term being put and popular terminology as far as a definition.
Right.
I do like that stereotype, negative stereotype, kind of like harmful stereotype mm-hmm. being toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I don't really, when I think about masculinity and femininity, I start getting very confused because I think about like cooking. And I'm like, is that masculine or feminine? Because some of the world's top chefs are men and some are women. And, right. and traditionally home cooking was more women and professional cooking was more men. So mm-hmm. which is it? Or something like that.
I mean, now it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's the fight against the toxic masculinity.
Yeah. So those gender, like masculinity and femininity are confusing to me. When I think about things like horticulture or stuff like that, it's like, is that masculine or feminine? Well, if it's gardening, it's feminine. And if it's like, again, lumberjacks, I don't know. Shit. Like, where's the line between genitalia and a task?
Right.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah. And that's my question as well.
And why are you doing tasks with your genitalia?
For the challenge.
Okay, putting
just to
together.
See if we can do it.
Okay, is putting together IKEA furniture masculine or feminine?
Oh.
That's more on the scale of insanity. I don't think anybody can successfully accomplish that. Not even use all the pieces.
Right.
All right. So, how have you, as a man, been confronted with toxic masculinity? What do you do? I'm going to let you guys take over.
So, I want to, like, throw this out there because this is something we had talked about the other day about your man list.
The man list.
Yes. Okay. Most of our topics come from our conversations of the week. And I'm just fucking crazy right now because I just drove with furniture in the back of a truck across state lines, like I was kidnapping somebody. So, and in the heat and the humidity, so I'll just be over here now.
All right.
So the man inventory.
Yes.
I don't know if all men do this or not, but I realized, didn't know I was doing it.
Manventory.
Manventory? That's a way better term.
We like to put words together.
We do.
So I realized a couple years ago that, and I didn't know I was doing it, I keep kind of an internal list of all my accomplishments as a man, all those things that would define somebody as masculine.
As a man.
As a man.
I love saying it like that.
And it really ties into toxic masculinity because I look at it from time to time and I realize, hey, this thing is completely hyper-masculine.
What is one of your man accomplishments?
I'm a veteran. I was in the military.
Okay.
Check.
Check. All right. What kind?
I was in the Air Force.
What kind?
I was in.
What flavor?
I always qualify this. I was in the military side of the Air Force, not the chair force.
The chair force.
That's where the women go.
Mm. No.
We go to OCS.
It's just this thing that I use to kind of benchmark. Mm-hmm. My own, I guess, man level against other guys. And I don't know that all men do it. So maybe it's just a me thing. I have to speak for my entire gender. So all men do it.
All of them.
We'll just put that on the table.
Let me remind you, we have like, we do some generalizing here sometimes. We do, I don't know if we reinforce stereotypes, but we have repeated some of them and gone, okay, this concurs, this doesn't, whatever. And we have no fucking sources to back up anything.
Yeah.
Because we don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're a guy and you're listening and you keep a mental note of all your man achievements, then...
Man achievements? That sounds like a kind of cheese.
It's a little stinky.
It's stinky cheese. Tonight we have crackers and man achievements as our hors d'oeuvres. When you realized you had a man achievement list, your
mandatory,
what was your next thought? Like, fuck, I gotta go poop or
no, I realized that I may potentially have overdone it in this life.
Oh,
there's a lot of stuff on it and you know, one, two or three of these things would be enough.
I want to know some more of them now.
I know, right?
I'm excited. I'm excited about mandatory.
Well, one of the things that you are wanting to achieve You do still have a man achievement.
Which one is this?
In your man bucket?
The straight razor shave.
Oh, yes, yes. I haven't graduated to straight razor shaving yet. I shave with a safety razor. I don't use it as a A safety razor will eat you alive.
It's not as safe as it sounds.
No.
Isn't a safety razor a disposable?
No.
Oh, I thought it was like a Bic.
No, it's got a reloadable razor in it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well.
But it doesn't lay flat on the skin. It's got a fixed angle.
I'm very sorry for your loss.
It took me about a year, but I don't cut myself anymore.
Yay!
That's why I'm cagey.
Man achievement unlocked.
Razor. Yes.
I finally got this one down. Now I'm looking at changing.
So yeah, what else is on this list?
I'm done at this point. There's enough on this list. I don't need.
Well, yeah, but what's on the list?
What's on the list? Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. There's military. I fathered children.
All right.
So that's one.
What does that have to do with being a man?
I mean, a man has to father, and I mean, the sperm's necessary, I guess.
Couldn't mother children.
I guess as a woman, I've never seen that as like a...
We're also child-free by choice.
Okay.
Right. So,
virility is
very different.
Thing.
Oh, virility. Right. Virility in general. Like, I can father a child.
Right.
Yeah, like, I'm... Like, I could mother gestate things.
I can't.
I don't know if I can anymore or not.
Part of
I offered free
culture.
Eggs to a friend, and she's like, honey, no.
Yes, right?
Yours are rotten.
Part of the masculine culture, though, is also there's a lot of denigrating on guys who cannot father children.
Yes.
There's that sort of, like, pity on women that can't because...
Yeah, I'm so sorry, you poor dear.
Yeah, if I tell people, oh, I can't, they go, oh, I'm sorry. And they're like, I'm just fucking with you. I don't want him. And they're like, what? Because there's denigrating on women who choose not to have children.
Right,
right. But, yeah, those who are unable to father children, yeah, they're looked at as less than.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a fairly decent mechanic.
I was gonna. My question was gonna be: have you rebuilt an engine?
I have not gone that far. But
okay.
I know how they work.
All right. So you still have a little sensitivity left.
I do. Yeah. I can't be a complete mechanic yet. what else? I don't know.
Oh, the man thing.
Fishing, hunting.
Oh, the boy. Oh, boy. Still. Yeah. Which I mean, I can do all of those too.
I was gonna say, how I don't understand.
But it's
you've never seen The Hunger Games.
But
for fuck's sake,
but always traditionally been like more masculine roles.
It's expected that men do these things,
right?
And if you don't do them, there's something wrong with you.
Oh,
and that's when it becomes toxic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so that is the heart of it is. If you make different choices, then you're a fucking pussy.
If you deviate from the one true man path.
Okay. One true man path.
You have fucked up as a man somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So what if you only make a few of them, then what happens? Like, what if you're like, I'm a veteran who can rebuild an engine, but I like to dust.
I like to dust. I like to dance.
That's why I'm at a point.
But now I'm taking ballet and I dust every week.
That's why I'm at a point now where I look at it and I go, Jesus, I don't need anything else. Mm-hmm. I have so much stuff on it already. It's one of those things where, as I've aged, I've realized that I can stop overdoing it. I've got enough on my list. I don't need to add to it. If anybody brings something man up, I can say, I've done this, or I've been that, or I've done these things, or I've been this place.
Have you ever been a vegetarian?
Because that's
like a big one. See, vegetarian guys, they catch a lot of shit for being vegetarians.
Yeah.
Like, women can get away with it a lot easier.
I evolved as an omnivore, and I don't see a good reason to give that up.
I feel you.
Because meat's amazing.
It is.
Sorry, all you vegetarians and vegans out there.
I'm very sorry, I love you, and I choose your choice along with you, but not for me.
Right.
I'm happy you're happy, but bacon.
More for me!
I am cranky without meat.
I literally am. I for real. Because I gave up red meat as a teenager for a while. And it was, I don't know. I mean, teenagers just like hormones with feet anyway.
Right.
But I don't know if that had an effect on it. But several months later, I was just like, I just want a cheeseburger.
That was me. Like,
I just want a steak. See, I want anything. Like, I have anger management problems. I had a lot of anger management problems, and they went away once I started eating red meat again.
Well, shocker. Your body needed it.
I had a need for a hamburger today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to get burgers after this. Because I didn't eat on the road trip, and I'm like, when I eat, I don't want a snack. I want actual food. So cheeseburgers are on the menu. Yeah, so here's my question, like, as you were growing up, like, let's think back about 500 years when you were growing up.
About right.
And when did you start noticing that sort of, like, he's a pussy, he's a real dude? Like, when did you start noticing those divisions and start falling into them and falling for that trap?
Easily before puberty.
Really?
Yes. Mm. It's even the kids' TV shows.
Hmm.
And I grew up in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
So it was a different world than it is. The kids' TV shows were not sensitive then.
Right.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
They
were really funny, though.
They were good. They were better. They
P.S.
made more sense.
I really like Speedy Gonzalez, and I don't care who knows it. And Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Yes, the sidekick. But it was just a thing. That was the media exposure. That was the models we were taught.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing in my situation, and I know a lot of guys share this situation, but I grew up without really a male figure at home.
Okay.
So the only cues I had to take were from media.
Right.
Did the women's did they actively steer you away when you went towards more neutral or things that were considered girly or whatever? Like, if you're like, I want to bake cakes.
Yeah, it wasn't encouraged.
Okay.
It wasn't nurtured.
Okay.
Did you ever get the whole, like, you know, boys don't cry, suck it up?
Yes.
That kind of stuff.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Because that's a big part of the toxic masculinity.
With men, that never stops.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
women are really bad about the crying thing. They reinforce it because they're like, I get uncomfortable around a man who cries. I can't go out with him. I saw him cry.
Right. And see, I don't get that. I am so okay with a man crying.
Ladies who do that, fuck off.
Yeah.
I mean, really, because guess what?
You all say you want a sensitive man, and then when they actually show you some vulnerability,
and you're like,
this freaks me out. I don't need to see this.
I don't know what to do. I've never seen a man cry before. I've heard women say, I've never seen a grown man cry. And I'm like,
wow. Wow.
Really?
Sheltered much?
Because guess what? Guys don't know what to do with a chick who's crying either.
I mean, there is,
like,
that.
They're like, she was sitting there and my girlfriend and she was crying. What do I do? I'm like, there's a WikiHow page on how to deal with a crying woman.
I throw tissues from across the room. Mm-hmm. I'm like, feel better.
Yeah. So you fling candy at her.
Yeah. Right.
Chocolate.
Here's some chocolate.
I'm going to fling.
Except we don't like chocolate.
I know. I'm like, I'm going to cookies, ice cream, anything.
I say that. Okay, so I like chocolate some of the time. Shut up. Don't call me out.
That's all they know how to do. They're like, I'm going to bring you something with sugar in it and tissues and like, call one of your friends and tell them to come over.
Right. Or like the
I'm going to outsource.
The pat. Yeah. Just the nice little pat. Like,
yeah.
Hey, it's okay. Yeah. I don't know what else to do here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like ugly crying.
Yeah. I mean, did the women's in your life, like, shit on you and say, boys don't cry, boys don't, you know?
No, it wasn't necessarily the women. It was all peers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And again, media reinforcement.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It was just the way it was. So it's the way I grew up.
Mm. I mean, yes, things are changing now, and one of my theories in feminism that people, they're like, what? I'm like, okay, so feminism is partly to blame for anti-feminism. And here's what I think in the era that Gen X grew up in, there was a lot of change in the way that girls were raised.
Yes,
we were raised, you can do anything and you're strong and you can play sports and this and that. And that was when it started to be a lot more acceptable for girls to act differently.
And that was when we kind of started seeing these role models as well. You know, mm-hmm. women were doing these things that they hadn't done in the past.
Or you had sports at champions least not with and astronauts.
Yeah,
with,
and, not without recognition. So, you know.
I think one of the things that was forgotten about in the 70s and 80s was to start raising boys differently. Because mm-hmm. they were raised with the same standards of be the breadwinner and here's how to be a success. Mm-hmm. But then I am very sympathetic because you guys got very confused. Suddenly there's a whole different type of a female out there. And you're like, but I was told that I'm supposed to do this and I don't know. And you're like, you're standing at with a door handle in your hand going, what do I do? This is not going to piss her off.
I am telling you, I have pissed off some men before with the whole door thing. Like, really bad. I'm like, I can get my own door. And I'm like, okay, no, I'm okay with it now. But I have been, I've made a lot of men uncomfortable with that.
Yeah. Is that toxic femininity from you?
Maybe a little.
We were talking and there's not really an equivalent
term. But not really. I mean, if you're looking at toxic femininity, that would be the over-feminized.
Yeah. That's like, because we said there's not really an equivalent. Like, the closest thing is, like, mean girls. Like,
middle
school girls.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They are.
Or, you know, and that kind of goes back to, like, body image and things like that and the judgmental behaviors of the mean girls. That if you don't wear the right clothes or do your makeup or, you know how to do your hair and those kind of things like that, to me, is a little more like the toxic side of femininity.
Mm-hmm.
Like the judgment.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you didn't shave your legs. You're not a girl if. Yeah.
Well, it would come
if you
down,
have body hair, you're not a girl.
Right.
If it's if we're talking about the flip side of toxic masculinity, it would come down to a judgment where somebody is not feminine enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it is with toxic masculinity, is that in the environment, you're not masculine enough.
Mm-hmm.
And these toxic...
I'm never feminine enough.
Yeah. The toxic dudes, how badly do you see them reinforcing the mean girl toxic femininity?
Oh.
How often do I see toxic guys reinforcing toxic femininity?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never stopped to pay attention to it.
But I think we've... all seen those like dating profiles of like, I'm looking for a woman, like a real woman, one that cooks, one that cleans, one that does the, like, we've all seen those, you know. That is, you know, I think encouraging also a little bit of the toxic femininity as well. There are men out there,
the Stepford wives.
You're not a woman unless
Stepford wife is probably the closest to toxic femininity that I've ever
heard. Here are the rules for dating me. Like, you have to, like, wear makeup all the time. You have to, you know, whatever. There's all these horrible douchebag guys out there with these lists that are just completely unattainable.
Yeah, what do they say? What do they say? You're in a male-dominated industry.
Right?
We don't talk about dating profiles.
Right.
Okay, I know you don't talk. You guys talk about
weather and shit,
about
right?
Weather,
it's all surface.
Hunting or sports or...
sports ball.
Sports ball.
Or, you know, how the guy is remodeling his entire house with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's stuff like that. It's very... It's almost like you're not talking to each other. You're trying to avoid addressing each other and just putting random information out there. Mm-hmm.
So women don't come into the conversation?
Not normally. Not unless it's in a very negative way.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
I can see that.
And
then
normally it's not a subject that's just brought up out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a catalyst for it.
Right. And is it usually their partners they're talking about? Or are they just like, because like, oh, she did this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I'm like, there is like the locker room talk as well.
Like,
as
everybody bitches about
those
their
two
like,
different environments.
My wife nags me. Like, you know what I mean? There are
like
two different sides.
Me sitting down with a friend of mine, first of all, if he's a friend of mine, there's not going to be any toxic masculinity going on. If there is, it gets addressed.
Yeah,
because I don't put up with it.
Thank you.
I don't.
I think that goes a long way in helping stop is for.
Yeah.
Guys to call other guys out.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, if it's me and a friend, that's a different environment than if I'm on a work site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, surrounded by a bunch of the good old boys. It's not a problem that's endemic to the good old boys.
Right.
But I'm just pulling this as an example. You know, and you even mentioned that you're not, you know, first of all, don't ever mention mood. But beyond mood.
My emotions, my feelings, yeah, none of that.
None of that is valid. You know, but let's say, like, right now, my back is kind of jacked up. I went to work today. If I started complaining about my back, it would be an endless string of get over it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
we're comparing to see who was in worse shape.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm here, and I've got blah, blah. My leg fell off, and my neck.
No one, I'm sorry.
I officially died last night, and I made it to work.
No one wins the pity Olympics. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. My God, I hate that. My life is worse than yours.
Okay.
All right, you win.
Good. I'm glad.
You're king of the losers. Enjoy.
Yeah,
like, what the... I don't understand
absolutely
that.
Neither sympathy nor empathy in any kind of ultra-masculine environment. Unless it's nurtured or created in that environment specifically.
Mm-hmm. So how do you deal... Like, because you are not someone who is toxically... masculine.
Right.
So how have you kind of moved away from that? Even though, like, you have your manventory and all
right.
that. It's like, how have you moved away from that?
Was there a spark, a catalyst that you remember
intention.
That you were like, fuck, I'm like a dick.
Therapy. And it wasn't that I was
hey,
a dick.
For therapy.
I probably was a dick.
we all have some of these.
All, we bit. Have dick moments.
We all have these dickish qualities on one end or the other.
Yeah.
Like, but... What made you actively go, ooh, I got to rethink some of this?
It was in therapy. It was after a session one day when I stumbled upon the revelation that, holy shit, I've done all this man stuff. I don't need to do anymore. And that's when I started.
I'm done being a man.
I am. That's when I started really looking at it. It's like, okay, am I going to do this thing? Am I going to pursue this goal because it's something I actually want to do? Or am I pursuing it because it's something I should do or I feel like I need to do?
Okay.
And that's when I started making conscious changes. I became more sensitive. I became more open. Now, it's not something I wear. I'm selective when I take it out. But
I'll just whip it out anywhere.
Nope. I'll get you in all kinds of trouble. Have to register. Not live close to a school.
I think I partly asked about work because you live in this field during the day with construction. Like, get the picture in your head, everybody,
right.
that you've seen in the movies. Anytime there's a female near, there's gawking eyes, there's body checking, there's hoots and there are hoots and hollers,
hoots
and hollers,
hoots and hollers.
And I just like. You know, that doesn't really happen to me. Damn it. What's wrong
with you? Oh my God, I'm the same.
I will say that.
Not that I want it, but also
but
I
also
want
like,
it.
But like, what's wrong with me? I get honks on the side of the road. Jeez. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
The construction worker catcall stereotype, I think, is losing steam. Because I've been on sites and I've been in refineries and I've been in plants where there were female employees, even female members of the crew. Doing the construction work. And the interaction there seemed professional. Now, what happens when two of them are alone or I'm off
site? Hashtag me too.
Because I don't work for any of these people.
Yeah.
I come to work, do my thing as a contractor, and then go home. So they may be on, and I'm an important contractor for these people. So they may be on best behavior when I'm there.
Mm-hmm. What might be the difference in having more... Just more presence.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. Mm-hmm. But I don't see any overt sexualization of women or female coworkers.
Hooray.
All right. This is good to know. See?
That's reassuring. And I'm hearing that.
I will say one thing. Construction workers
don't trust
on the whole
it.
Are a pretty good group of people. They get kind of a bad rap.
I know. Well, I always said when I was waited at tables, they were really good tippers and very polite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's not like I felt like they were staring at my ass crack when I walked away or anything.
Right.
Like, they gave me good money because they saw that I was busting ass just like they did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Go, construction workers. Woo-hoo. We like you.
Yes.
Now, don't be dicks and fuck this up.
Right?
For real.
I think, honestly, most of them are too busy to worry about it.
I know. They're tired.
They're tired. Those guys work harder in one day than I do in a week.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for not being a dick, I guess. Yeah. How do you feel representing your entire race?
Well, race. If they all turn out, your race, your they all, if they all turn out like me, then I'll take it.
Yeah. So then, there's just one thing left. Did she warn you about our little games that we play I've with our them. Guests? I've you heard them. You listened. Yes.
So, which one do we want to play?
Which one do we get? We're going to have dealer's choice.
If it's zombies, then my resources can only be one thing. It's rum.
Rum. Okay. Right. A gallon of rum.
What would you do for a gallon of rum?
Body part plus action equals a gallon of rum. For
and does it matter what kind of rum?
Of course it matters. Right? It's rum. There's bad rum out there and people should not drink it. Yeah. But if I'm dying in a zombie apocalypse.
Well, I mean, you don't have to die.
You don't,
if I drink a gallon of rum, I will.
So I'm sitting down. It's my last ever gallon of rum.
Of death. Drink myself.
What would I do?
Drink myself out of this world.
We figured out already that Sarah will suck a zombie dick.
I'll suck all the dicks.
Even if it falls off into her mouth.
Yeah, I would. Oh, the face I'm getting right now.
Last time it was the Diva Cup. Would you drink a used Diva Cup shot?
But gross. Wait, I get to drink a gallon of rum afterwards?
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll die happy.
Oh my God. See? Really?
Nope.
It's just a momentary really? Ink, and then you're over.
It's a 1 ounce shot of Diva Cup with a gallon of rum chaser. Yep. Think about it, Sarah.
Anybody can do that.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, I'm still ugh.
No. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would go down on zombie women.
That is
because that's
weird.
A whole face thing, and yeah. No, that, you can't wash that off.
What if you had to let, yeah, but like picking zombie boogers and they make you eat them?
That's
way
wow.
Kind of gross.
I don't know
how many
wow.
boogers. How many boogers?
How many? It's not a hard pass, depending on the
right?
number.
Because you know, if we're just talking like 5 minutes of booger picking and eating. I'm going to blot that right out of my memory when
for
I
for decent rum. Rum. Decent
yeah.
rum. Mm-hmm. Like, not shitty rum.
No,
like,
no
that's
Bacardi.
Not something. Yeah.
No
like,
Captain Morgan.
McCormick. Okay, what's the good rum?
There are lots of good rums. My favorite is El Dorado 21 year.
Okay. I don't drink these things, so I don't know.
Right.
Like, it's like, yeah, okay, Captain Morgan is crap?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's artificial flavors.
They have the cane sugar, Captain Morgan. Right? I don't know. Shit. They do it with all the sodas now, so yeah. Why wouldn't they do it with the liquors?
I'm a hard pass on Captain.
No. So now I know the way to your heart.
Yeah. Zero boogers for Captain Morgan.
Right.
I just won't do it.
But all the boogers.
All the boogers for... El Dorado. A gallon of El Dorado 21 year. I will pickle myself and die a very happy man.
With no memory of
exactly.
eating zombie boogers.
Nope, it'll be gone. I won't even wake up. I'll slip into an alcoholic coma.
Okay. Here's what, and it doesn't involve eating anything gross or doing weird sexual things to zombies or anything.
Okay.
You have to be tied to a tree in the middle of the night for an hour to get that run.
An hour?
Yeah.
I'm in.
But wait, there's zombies around?
You don't know what's around.
You don't know what's around?
I'm like, are we still in a zombie apocalypse? Or is this like a different kind of apocalypse?
It could be a cannibal apocalypse.
Because that happens.
But it could just be a night in the woods. So mm-hmm. I'll roll those dice.
It could be. Oh, and your pack is near you. So you can see if people come and steal your bug out bag. You have to watch it happen.
Oh.
See, I'm thinking like it's like fucking Mad Max. We're in Thunderdome here.
This is some kind of Rube Goldberg scenario.
Right. Wow.
You're tied to a tree. You're packed. You can see it.
You can't get to it.
The mouse eats the cheese.
Yes. I go dark, man. I don't just go gross. I can go dark.
Just mm-hmm. watch somebody walk off with all your shit.
I think that would be way more traumatizing than a zombie dick in your mouth.
No, it's fine. When they untie me, I get a gallon of rum.
I mean, the thing is, how many survivors are there in this world? And also, if you're making a deal for rum, can't you pick up other supplies? I mean, I don't know.
You might have to trade part of your rum to get supplies after that.
I'd rather die.
This is the way you're going. You're going to drink yourself silly to where people just kill you afterwards.
If I've got to eat zombie boogers for rum, that's the end.
That's the low point of my life. Stop.
Okay. That kind of sounds like the end of today, then.
Yeah, sounds good.
Boogers, good. Boogers, Captain good. Morgan, bad. The things we learn on this show.
Hooray. Don't be a dick.
Comments, questions, knock knock jokes?
Shoot us an email, talkingmessy@gmail.com.
And that's my story.
The end.